What I want to preach about today can be summarized in one sentence. So just remember this, you can ignore the rest. The sentence is, you must be a witness before you can be a witness. Well, now that's confusing because the word witness has two forms and a whole bunch of meanings. The word witness can be a verb, which is to witness, and that's meaning to see something, such as a crime or an accident, I suppose. Or to witness can also mean to tell something that you know, such as a street corner evangelist standing on the corner witnessing. And the word witness can also be a noun. It's that person who sits in the witness chair in a court, testifying. Those witnesses are in the court because they have seen something. They have some other information to give the court, something they know from first-hand personal experience. Now, I know that I'm making some of you really dyed-in-the-wool Presbyterians kind of nervous by starting out a sermon talking about witnessing. We Presbyterians are not strong at witnessing, if you mean by that standing on a street corner proclaiming. Some churches do advocate on a week-by-week basis that a key part of the Christian life is to seek every opportunity to talk to sinners about the consequences of their life alienated from God, and to invite them into discipleship and salvation. But our Presbyterian denomination seems to attract people who are a little bit shy about talking about the foundations on which we have built our lives. We naturally would be happy to invite someone to come to our church if they would simply tell us they were looking for a church home. We could do that. But it seems a little bit awkward to bring up the most important, heartfelt, spiritual matters in the course of ordinary conversation. It's just not something we do very well. So I'm hoping to make that just a little bit easier for all of us this morning in this sermon. You see, you must be a witness before you can be a witness. By which I mean that you have to see something before you can tell about it. And if you have seen something, then it's telling about it is really not all that complicated. What got this sermon going in my head was a moment that happened 2 weeks ago here in church on a Sunday morning. We were singing the last hymn. And you know, it's one of the genuine privileges of being clergy that you get to be up here in front with a seat that faces the congregation. Because being up here gives me a chance to see something which none of you can see sitting in the pew. I get to see the whole congregation. And so there I was 2 weeks ago, standing up here in my normal spot with a hymn book in my hand, singing a favorite hymn of ours, "Here I Am, Lord." And maybe for the very first time, I really saw all of you standing there singing the same melody with the same words, adding your voice to mine as we proclaimed our desire to answer God's call. "Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I've heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart." We were all singing those wonderful words together, and I saw it. Now, it obviously wasn't the very first time that I've seen this congregation singing, no, but I saw it in a new way. I witnessed something that I'd never truly witnessed before. And that's the point of this sermon, is to encourage you, to encourage each one of you to open your eyes and truly see what is going on around you here at Wildwood Church and in every place you go in your life. It's Sunday morning. We're all here in this sanctuary. It's never a surprise to me when I find myself in church on Sunday morning. It's just who I am. It's where I go. It's what I need to do. But somehow, that singing moment 2 weeks ago opened my eyes to the fact that all of you are here too. Every one of you got up this morning and you thought about what you would do today and you made some choices among all the possibilities and you decided to come here for worship at Wildwood Presbyterian Church. So I am seeing all of you here today with a new understanding, with a greater awareness and an increased appreciation for what that means that each of you is here. I'm not alone in being a person who is in church on Sunday morning, because that's who I am and that's what I need to do. You are here too. And now it is no problem whatsoever for me to witness, to speak of that truth. I could testify that on Sunday morning I was in church with a whole bunch of other wonderful Presbyterians who sang with me and prayed with me and joined in all the other acts of mission ministry that are a part of the life of this church. In the scripture passage I just read to you from the 10th chapter of Acts, we hear the story of Peter preaching in Caesarea. So he was invited to come to Caesarea by Cornelius the centurion, a man who was not a Jew, he was a Gentile. And on the journey there, Peter had a vision, and then he had another second moment of inspiration on the journey, in which he came to understand that he should carry the message of Jesus, that he should preach the gospel, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. That was a whole new idea for Simon Peter. And when he got to Cornelius's home, he found a large group of Gentiles gathered there, eager to hear what he had to say. And this passage I read to you is the opening of his sermon. So Peter starts out by acknowledging this brand new understanding of his, that God is God of the Jews and the Gentiles, that Jesus is Lord for the Jews and the Gentiles. And then he says, "We are witnesses to all he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem." Peter and the other disciples and the followers of Jesus had been with him for 3 years, and they had seen with their own eyes what he did. They had heard the wonderful things that he said with his own ears. They saw him on the cross. They saw the empty tomb. They ate and drank with him after he was raised. So there was nothing whatsoever difficult or complicated about them telling those stories. And they spoke with the confidence and the authority of people who knew what they were talking about. They were there. And if you and I had been there, in Judea or in Jerusalem, even as a bunch of shy Presbyterians, we would find no trouble in witnessing to the miracles, to tell the stories and parables, to testify to the fact that that stone was rolled away. But it's not so easy for us to speak about these events with confidence and authority because we weren't there. Now, we believe to the bottom of our souls the stories we have been told by those who were there, but we didn't see it with our own eyes. Which is why it's so important for us to open our eyes and look around and see, and I mean truly see, and to open our ears and listen and hear and truly hear, so that we can witness to the wonderful things that God is doing in our lives right in front of ourselves. We can tell the solid truths that we have heard with our own ears right here in Wildwood Church. Today's the 15th Sunday that Greg and Kathy have been gone. They left us back in the spring to embark on their journey of rediscovery and renewal. They will be here next Sunday, and that will be a very good day. But during this 15 weeks, we have witnessed a lot of really wonderful, I think amazing things here at Wildwood Church. Our theme was Many Gifts, One Spirit. We made that banner because that was our plan and our hope, but in the past 15 weeks, by God's grace, that has been our reality. Many people, way too many for me to name, have contributed to our life together during this unusual time without gifts that Greg and Kathy give us. We've had almost a different preacher every Sunday. And the messages that have been preached from this pulpit for the last 15 weeks, in my opinion, have been amazing and wonderful. And the children's time has been done by someone different almost every Sunday, like the Rodriguez family did today. And we simply run out of fingers and toes if we were to try to count the people who have sung or played or prayed or led worship or contributed in so many other ways to this hour together every week. I've been at the church office on Tuesdays and Friday mornings for just a few hours, but even that's been a revelation to me about all the people who just stop by the church to participate in some part of our church's life. They drop off food for our food pantry. They pick up and load those contributions you made to the deacon's program of school supplies. They put them in the truck. I saw you do it just this week. And they meet with Kathy Gilmore to talk about VBS plans or other ministries to children. They stop by to volunteer for our extra care program for people with Alzheimer's. They come by and tidy up this room every week. They work on bulky air conditioners and computers. I could really go on till you'd want me to quit. But what I have seen personally in just two mornings a week is by no means the whole story of what happens in this congregation. I've never served in one of the ministries to children that takes place down the hall every Sunday. Never been here for Logos on Wednesdays. I haven't attended a choir practice. Never been to PADS to see someone ministering to the homeless at 3 o'clock in the morning. I haven't gone on an adult mission trip. But if I get my eyes truly open and really see, I will realize that I have witnessed members of this church family involved in all kinds of activities that at first look ordinary, but are really quite extraordinary, because they're acting out of their devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ, doing what he has taught us and his disciples to do. Tomorrow night, Greg will moderate the session meeting, first time to do that in several months. And I talked with him about that, made plans for the meeting, and I know that he expects to ask the elders to reflect on the last 15 weeks. And I'm sure that the elders around that table will talk comfortably and confidently about their experiences and their perspectives. It will be easy for them to tell what they have seen, to give their testimony about how they have experienced God's Spirit at work among us in the last 3 months. They will be witnessing, even though they are a bunch of shy Presbyterians. And you know, all of us can do that when the opportunity presents itself with a neighbor or a coworker or a relative or a friend. If we can really see what wonderful things happen because the people of this church love God and serve Jesus, if we can really understand the extraordinary gifts that God's Holy Spirit has given us who are gathered here today, then we can tell those stories comfortably, with authority, for we will be witnessing about what we have actually witnessed, what we have seen with our own eyes and heard with our own ears. Luke tells us, the author of Acts, later in the same 10th chapter, that Peter's sermon was rudely interrupted by the Holy Spirit. He was just getting going, and the Holy Spirit interrupted him and touched the minds and hearts of those Gentiles. And Peter stopped his sermon and said, "It's time for these people to be baptized." And they were. And they became the heart of that first family of faith in Caesarea. So when we tell our stories, when we witness to those around us about the things we've seen, about the things we've heard, what we have witnessed here every Sunday at Wildwood Church, then we should expect similar wonderful things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.